Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Tuesday. What is it now? What is it? The 23rd? Tuesday, the 21st. Tuesday, the 21st of September, 2010. As mentioned, I'm Sam Minter. I think I mentioned it. Maybe I mentioned it. I don't know. Anyway, I do not have Yvonne Bo with me today. Yvonne couldn't make it this weekend, and I'm kind of a day late recording it, too. And I'm recording it from my car, but I'm in a parking lot, so you won't get all that noise that you sometimes get when I do this. Anyway, quick solo show. I don't know how much I'll have to say. I did want to follow up a little bit on last week's show. I went on a little bit of a rant about religion and burning Qurans and all of those kinds of things. I did want to clarify a couple things about what I said then. So let's start with the Quran burning and such. A lot of times I said something along the lines of, you shouldn't be offended by that. Nobody should be offended by this. Nobody should be offended by that. And I realized as I was listening to the show myself that that's not really quite what I meant. Anybody can be offended by whatever they want to be offended by. And you sort of have a right to be offended by whatever you feel like. You know, I could be sitting here looking at, the car, a couple cars over from me, and be really offended by what color that car is. And that's fine. But what you don't have a right to be is to not be offended. You do not have a right to have an environment free of things that offend you. And in fact, I would say that the person over there with the car whose color I don't like, they have 100% right to offend me by that color. And I think that's an important right. And I think that's something that in many places has been eroded. And part of that is sort of hate speech stuff. I know I'm somewhat radical, and if Yvonne was here, he disagrees with me on this, I believe. But I don't think, any place where there are restrictions on speech that is negative or, says bad things about other people, or even potentially, spreads falsehoods, all this kind of stuff, I think it's important that that stuff be free to be out there. And I'm a wholehearted believer in the thought that the answer to bad speech is more speech, not restricting the speech. And I sort of come at that from a first principles point of view, not from a, let's evaluate the results and see whether we get better results by restricting speech or not. Not by that sort of, pragmatic, let's look at the end result of, is society better if we do this or better if we do that according to some, objective, like, for instance, less violence or, better understanding between peoples or something like that. I think those are noble goals, but I don't think it's legitimate to stop people from saying hateful things. I think it's perfectly legitimate to point out that what they're saying is hateful and false and bigoted and bad and stupid and whatever else may apply. But I don't think we should be in the business of stopping them in any way. And again, there is a difference between sort of, as Yvonne pointed out in last week's show, no one here was bringing the police to bear saying, don't burn the Qurans. They were instead bringing sort of pressure upon the guy saying, please don't burn the Qurans. It's a bad idea. It'll upset people. Which brings me to my second point there. It seems like a big part of the reason why people were as people were sort of begging for this guy not to do what he was going to do, a big part of the appeal was, if you do this, there will be violence against people. People will get hurt and killed because you will get people who are offended by this, who will take it out on, whoever they see as being responsible. So they'll kill American troops, maybe they'll take action on American tourists and other places. Who knows what they would do? And this is, in fact, probably the more worrying bit to me, is that we were determining what we would or would not do and how we react to this person based on threats from... basically, you know, we're given into the bully. And this is where I think in the last show I tied it to the Everybody Draw Muhammad Day and such, and the fact that you know, people were afraid to publish cartoons of Muhammad because people would get offended and threaten violence because of it. You know, it's certainly, now, me as an individual, with me and my little family here, and, you know, if I had some random person threatening me and saying that, you know, if I didn't do X, Y, or Z, you know, violence would happen to us, do I think I'd be principled and say, okay, well, yeah, I'm going to do it anyway because that's a, you know, I don't believe you have the right to threaten me in that way? I don't know. You know, when it becomes that closely personal, it becomes difficult. But I think as a matter of principle, you know, if you give in and say, okay, you're going to be offended by this, and if I do this, you're threatening me in some way, therefore, to avoid the conflict, I'm not going to do it. I think down that road lies madness. Down that road lets the people who are extreme and get offended by, you know, whatever, or just the people who are bullies and are willing to contemplate violence, it gives them control. And, you know, it can't, as a matter of policy, be the policy to, whenever somebody's jumping up and down saying, you know, if you do this, we're going to be offended and attack you, to say, oh, okay, then we won't do that. And that's part of what offends me about this. Yeah, the guy burning the Qurans is doing it as a statement intentionally intended to inflame, intentionally intended to insult, intentionally intended to, you know, degrade the Islamic religion, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, would I directly want to do any of those things? I don't know. Probably not. I at least think that it would not be helpful, and I would not contemplate doing it for that reason. But like I said on the show yesterday, the fact that people are, you know, it's a good reason not to do it because it's stupid. Because it's stupid and it's showing ignorance, and, you know, the act itself is idiotic. But if we're telling him not to do it because it's going to offend somebody, because the people who are offended might decide to become violent, no, that's not a good reason not to do it. And that's why I went on my rant about, well, then let's burn everything. Let's burn everything because we shouldn't be offended by these kinds of things. And it just really frustrates me no end that is the way and we've reacted to that. And you know, I was just listening to a podcast with my cousin Heather Herbert, actually, where she was talking about this and how, you know, we really had to do something because there was already large demonstrations in the streets elsewhere and things like that. And I understand from a, you know, from a short-term perspective of, oh my God, this guy's going to do this. It's going to cause all kinds of problems. People are going to be inflamed. There's going to be violence. We want to avoid those things. Yeah, absolutely. We want to avoid those things. I'm glad the guy backed down and didn't do it in the end. But I agree with the folks who have been saying that it was handled in a bad way. There has to be a way that, you know, the government and the people in government could have, you know, expressed, you know, sort of their displeasure or the fact that they didn't agree with this guy or whatever, without making it seem like, you know, we're sort of doing what we're doing simply because we want to avoid offending people and having those people get violent. You know, any time where we build the expectation that people have the right not to be offended, is just bothersome to me. And yes, that applies in all kinds of other areas too. I don't think there should be restrictions on television that, you know, keep your public broadcaster from, you know, putting, you know, porn on in the middle of the afternoon if they felt like it. At least once we're talking about cable and such. And the distinction is not, anyway, broadcast too, screw it. it doesn't really matter these days. I think that that's, if you're going to be offended by something, then either be offended by it and live with being offended, or turn around. Don't watch it. Don't go there. Don't pay attention to it. You know, I think that's the fundamental approach to all of this stuff that we should take. And, you know, perhaps there are some situations where, you know, if someone is trying to be offensive in a way that you can't avoid on purpose, so for instance, let's say, someone decides to be, you know, be rude and talk negatively about your ethnic group and all of that kind of stuff, but not just on their own, not just wherever, not just somewhere you can walk away, but they're following you doing this, then it's harassment. And that's a whole other issue. So, I don't know. It seems like this particular example is just another example in a long string of examples where people feel like they have the right to not be offended and to be insulated from things that bother them, and expect that government and other folks will intervene to make sure that that's not happening. And you know, yes, there's the Quran burning. There's, you know, the Janet Jackson Super Bowl thing. Here in Washington State, there have been laws cracking down on little coffee stands that have baristas wearing bikinis or less. You know, it's like, who cares? If you don't like it, don't pay attention or be offended for a second. But why should there be, government intervention to stop these things from happening? That's ridiculous. Stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. That's not something that, you know, government should be playing in. And in the case of people who are, in general, so much more sensitive and offended by things that, you know, larger Western society, you know, doesn't even double take at, we should be fighting to say, no, you know, no, 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 you know, turn around. If this bothers you, go somewhere else. You know, don't be involved. Don't pay attention, whatever. But, you know, we're not, and I don't know. Anyway, this is one of my pet peeves. I'm rambling and repeating myself now. So let's take a quick break for the poem of the week, and I'll be right back with a little bit of something else.
This is the Curmudgeon's Corner Poem of the Week, brought to you by Notel Motel.
Par avion, October 6, 2008, L'Abbé de Pontlevoy, France, by T.A. Noonan. The chapel is half cathedral. The monks ran out of money and slapped an entrance on what was complete. Today, a maintenance worker has dressed the altar in white. I linger at grayed saints' bones set in faceless wooden busts. Snails cross a wall older than home. My friends say it's a crime how common these places are. Later, I discover a vineyard behind a garage. Buy a bottle of rosé. Promise to return for the confits de vin. Each jar, a little window, captures this country whose language I barely know.
For more like this, go to notelmotel.org with a new poet each week and a new poem every weekday.
Okay, we're back. So the other thing I mentioned briefly, and I'm potentially dooming myself by going into these waters again, but just it's just religion and belief in general.
So, okay, I won't subject you to more of this. This is Sam chiming in a few days after the original bit of this was recorded. I'm now talking on Friday, September 24th. So, as you could tell through that first segment, the audio quality was slowly getting worse and worse and worse. In the second segment, that was even more so. And you know, okay, I spoke for a few minutes about various things, and by the time I got to the end, it sounded like this. So, I guess I've decided that I won't, you know, just put that in there, because I don't know about you, but I can't understand a word I'm saying. And the first segment, okay, the quality declined, and it wasn't as good at the end as the beginning, and it kind of sucked to listen to, and I fully admit that, and I'm not going to try to record things in exactly that way again, ever. But at least you could understand it. This second segment, it started out barely able to tell what I'm talking about, and then just got to the point where it's completely and totally unintelligible. I'll quickly summarize. I mean, I started expounding on, you know, following up from last week on my thoughts on religion, and I'll tell you this, it was very, very profound. It was life-altering. If you had been able to listen to it, you would have started a cult to worship me. You know, it was that profound. It was amazing. It was incredible. But now it's lost to history. So, you know, sorry, you guys lose out. It was just about, it was me ranting about religion again, and it was repeating some stuff I said before, but, and trying to clarify and talk about how, you know, where does belief fit into things and where does it not, and, you know, what is the legitimate point of view for people believing things that may or may not coincide with, you know, quote unquote objective reality, and is there still value in believing those things, perhaps, even if there's no sort of fundamental quote-unquote reality to it. I talked a little bit about language and how reality and truth can mean different things in different contexts, and the sort of objective scientific version is only one version, and, you know, I think it's misuse of the language, overloading the term and confusing issues because of that, but I think that's a big part of what sometimes happens, is that people are actually using the word truth in different ways. You'd think that's a sort of a fundamental concept, but it really isn't. There's a lot of different versions of it. Anyway, I'm not going to try to recreate it. I'm not going to, you know, say anything else and go on for, you know, time. So we will end up with a pretty short show here. Is there anything else to mention? You know, I could talk about fun stuff around the house. You know, but no, that wouldn't be fun to you. The election stuff is heating up, I guess. We've got, you know, candidates who made quotes about being witches and things like that, and that's fun to make fun of. But no, we'll wait. We'll wrap it up now. And sorry I lost that second segment for you. Like I said, you would have been incredibly impressed if you could understand a word I said, but you can't. So, thanks for listening this week, if you actually made it to this point. I know that first segment was probably somewhat painful, too. As usual, email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com for any questions, comments, thoughts. We'd love to hear from you, and we will respond in a later show. Otherwise, tell your friends to listen and tune in next week. Goodbye.